Yeah.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming to this extraordinary meeting. There are only two items on the agenda tonight. That's to consider nominating the land west of Eddington Road as an strategic an asset of community value, and of course confirm the questions for March the 3rd. What was that? Sorry. It was just a reminder for this meeting. Thanks, Brian. okay, so I think it's important that we let some of the residents who are most affected by this have a few words to say tonight. But first, I'd like to start off with Mike.
Sorry, Barry, can you, I know the apologies we've already taken care of.
Okay, so we've got apologies. Has anybody got any prejudicial interests?
Or any interests in the land?
I don't know whether I have to say that my daughter's father-in-law backs onto the field.
If you like, I can always just say you've got an interest, and that way you've covered yourself in case anyone says anything.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, hello, Roy. You're there. Okay. Right. So, I think it's important we start off with Councillor Ward, because he can put a little bit of meat on the bones of how we arrived at this unfortunate position for the second time in only a matter of years. But as we got, I'm sure it's going to be quite an interesting evening. Mike, could you give us 5 minutes?
Of course I can.
Thank you.
I mean, as everyone's aware, I mean, I served on three local housing associations as a non-executive director for 29 years. The latter being Vectors Housing. I was on the board, we first approached, or should I say, the Kerry Field site came up, which was the Southern Housing, Sovereign Housing, which prior to that was Spectrum Housing, that communicated with the then Parish Council, and that site was developed. On completion of that, that was then transferred to Vectors Housing for administration going forward. At that, prior to that particular time, the Eddington Road site was brought to the attention of the council by the ward council at that time, and since then it's just time's gone on and on. The agent brought this to the attention with Vectors Housing to the parish council. At that particular time, that was Paul Hand, the chief executive, and listened to what was the parish requirements and consideration to go to the drawing board to give consideration. Presentation was then made by the agent, Chris Scott. Then laterly, it was the chief exec was Martin Pearl, who's there at the present time. And the needs felt was social housing is important in the village, but the priority was the infrastructure, the importance of the infrastructure, the number of units, and therefore with the access, etc., it was felt a maximum of 40 units. And Vectors went away and started that. Isle of Wight, as we know, it's the Isle of Wight council land, so it's nothing to do with Vectors Housing, it's the councillors. And with the Isle of Wight council, there is a members housing board, which I know there's four councillors on it, and during that time I've continued to correspondence to emphasise the importance of the village needs. We had a presentation by the then Assistant Director of Regeneration, who came with a scheme that was totally against what the parish required. They were looking at 80 units. I brought some various points up. She wasn't able to answer them, and her comment was at that time, and that was in front of a lot of the public, that she'd go back with the drawing board. She's now gone. We've now got the new Assistant Director of Regeneration, Paul Thomas, and he's put a scheme together. Now, previously, when the scheme was, Southern and Sovereign were not interested on that site. It was only Vectors Housing that was interested. Coming forward, the presentation's gone to the Members Housing Board, and we're in sight of that last email, highlighting what the officer has recommended to the board. Last week, again, been in correspondence with the leader Stuart Hutchison, councillor, assistant leader, and the cabinet member for Barry Abraham for housing and planning, highlighting the continued concern of the numbers. I received an email back from both of them, but particularly from Stuart Hutchison this weekend. It's a recommendation. They have taken our concerns, and it is going back for the officers to communicate with the other parties. But at this present time, it's purely down to a recommendation, and it is back to consultation. And I think at this point, my recommendation would be that we propose to try and make a recommendation that we are still concerned relating to the viability, the infrastructure, education and medical needs, and that, you know, we are happy with the social, but not the numbers that are in sight at the moment. And that's what I've continued to emphasise with the Isle Council councillors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any other councillor like to make a comment? Dave, you want to say anything? You're muted, mate. Dave, you're muted.
Yes, sorry, you got me?
Yeah, would you like to make any comment as our chair of planning?
Yes, I would. It's firstly, I think Mike states a very important thing there with regards to that presentation that was made by Chris Scott. And at the time, the requirements of the village with regards to 40 units. Well, I have the Isle of Wight Slough in front of me here from 2018, and that's the case. And this is down as IPS 127, and it's land west of Eddington Road, Nettlestone and Seaview, and it's stated on there the yield as 40 units. The other concern is this is another greenfield site, and they've stated this on their own slough, and they've put on it deliverable. I don't think anyone's got any objection to the 40 units. I think we all object to the numbers they're talking up there now physically, and just a change to that original application. But my main concern, once again, is, and I'm not going to slate everyone on there because I know this is a lot to do with the officers rather than the councillors, but I've just concerns over how it's got this far without any dialogue with the parish. It just doesn't seem right, and it doesn't sit comfortable with me. But I've no doubt we're going to put that full view forward. Yeah. So let's proceed.
Thank you, Dave. Any other councillors? Sally.
I feel quite strongly that any development, whether here, Harcourt Sands or anywhere, should be mixed in its constituents so that you've got the whole of society living as a community. Not 100% affordable houses here or anywhere. I just think that's an outdated way of doing things. I know why that, well, I can see why they might be doing that, but I would like to for us to stick up for ourselves and see if we can't get a mix of housing there. Some for part buy, you know, part rent, some totally for rent, and some that are sold, because obviously the developer's got to make some money. And then I agree with what Dave and Mike have said earlier. We need to keep going on this one and fight for much less dense development up there.
Thank you, Sally. Any other parish councillors, because our ward councillor would like to say something. Reg.
Right. Quite frankly, I don't recognise what Mike's talking about. The decision by the panel of the three members, the three Conservatives, Stuart Hutchison, Barry Abrams, and the guy from Ryde, what's his name?
Wayne Whittle.
Wayne Whittle, that's the chap. They've made the decision. They've told Southern Housing that that's the decision of the council, and I can't see that being overturned. It was all done lawfully, they employed a consultant to put it out to tender. The tenders came in, it was about six or seven tenders came back. Best one was picked out, the one with the most money, that was going to come into the Isle of Wight Council, and that was Southern Housing. They're not going to go back on that. They're not going to come back to the parish council and say to you, what would you like? It's done and dusted. The only way you can stop that is by making it an asset of community value and negotiate with Vectus Housing or some other social provider so that you come up with something that the parish and the people surrounding it and the community as a whole want, exactly like Sally said. You won't get that any other way. There's an election coming up and they aren't really worried about what goes on in Nettleson and CDU. I'm sorry, but that's a political decision has been made with no consultation to the people. It's been going on longer than, I'm not quite sure when he said this was shown to the Vectus Housing at the time of Kerry Fields. I first brought this forward in 2003, and I can prove that if you want it, if you don't believe me. This has been going on a long time.
Yeah.
I initially started it because I wanted to see a safe route along that so you could walk from Nettleston on the pavement to the church. That's what I was after in the first place. And I thought the only way you could do it was by putting a few houses along the front, extending the existing social housing type on Eddington Road. Not a mass site like it's turned into. Nothing like 90 houses and nursing units. That was way beyond my expectations. I thought the way Vectus Housing had done it was a brilliant idea which could be agreed to and accepted by all the people in the village. All the people around there, they've all agreed with it, and that's unusual. We've got a good scheme. Let's see if the parish council can work together with Vectus Housing and deliver it. If you apply for that to be a site for an asset of community value, you've then got 6 months to negotiate something. At least you will have been trying. Or you can sit back and let the likes of Stuart Hutchinson go along, tow you along and believe what he said. They haven't treated the parish council very well so far, and I don't believe they're going to treat you any different in the future. It's up to the parish council, not up to me. I'm just a resident who's concerned and have listened to the concerns of the residents. And there's plenty of concerns about this.
Yeah.
Don't make any mistake.
Okay.
People don't want housing on there at any price. They don't want 90 social housing units on their doorstep. That's not very nice, I suppose, in some terms, but that's the facts we live in.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Reg. I'd like to ask some of our near residents, Catherine Barton, you live fairly adjacent. Would you like to say some words?
I'm just unmuting myself. Sorry, I muted myself. So I'm like in the background. yes, I mean, my garden backs up, or our garden backs right onto the field, and we look right across it to Brading Downs at the moment. And I know that, you know, we're not entitled to a view necessarily, but we have lived in this house for 35 years. And, you know, it's come as a huge shock to us to hear that there may be 90 houses built on there. We are fully in agreement with the Vectus Housing scheme of 40 houses and the light industrial units that were mooted at the time as well. I mean, nursing, I don't understand how Southern Housing can consider nursing units and affordable housing together. They don't mix. That, to me, would be nonsense. But the light industrial units and the 40 houses that were planned would be ideal. I also think that having a large estate out there like that breeds crime. I'm going to say it because it does. You know, everybody pushed together like that is not going to be particularly pleasant for everybody else living around. And again, with the nursing units, that it just doesn't make sense. But yes, we would like to see some affordable houses. There is an opportunity, I feel, to do something quite innovative there if they wanted to. I know that won't happen, but there is an opportunity to do something that could look really, really nice and be a credit to the parish. But what's being planned at the moment, God forbid, is all I can say. You know, we're really very worried about what's going to happen there. Aside from that, I don't know what else I can say. I have given, I did give Brian some questions for the meeting on the 3rd of March, but I'm sure some of them will overlap with others, but that's fine.
Well, thank you so much for that, Catherine. Is there any, I mean, forgive me, because I don't know all the residents along that end of Edmonton.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else there that lives nearby who might like to say a few words? Seemingly not. Okay, well, we do have another item on the agenda. I'd like... Who are you?
I'm Derek Burt.
Okay, so you'd like to say a few words?
Cause Avenue. I just don't really understand what a nursing unit is.
Well, I agree with you. What does that? It looks like an opportunity when they're no good to be turned into something else.
Hmm.
Okay. Right. Would anybody else like to say something? Dave.
Sorry, Dave. Go on, fire away.
Sorry, two Daves. I beg your pardon. Go on, Dave.
I'd just like to make one point. In the last 10 years, the council have only delivered about 100 affordable houses. So what makes them think they'd like to put the whole 100 in one place, in one go? It doesn't make sense at all. I mean, and it's almost coalescence with St. Helens. It's going to be right next to St. Helens Church, almost touching St. Helens. That's coalescence. Yeah. That's about all I've got to say.
Absolutely. As somebody said earlier, we're all pushing against an open door. I think we're all on the same wavelength. Big Dave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just unmute. Yeah, I'd like to get back to Reg's point. I think Reg has made a very important statement there, because this clearly shows predetermination. And I believe within the last 18 months we spoke about in the parish, and I believe we've actually set aside funds to maybe get a solicitor's letter into them. Because this, to me, in view of the fact of what Reg just said, this is clearly predetermination. There's no planning application for it at the moment. So regardless of what they're saying, there isn't a planning application for it. The only thing they've ever looked at is the vector scheme. But there is no planning application for what they're proposing now. And if this goes forward, surely there's a good case here for judicial review. And I believe the Isle of Wight Council need to be held to account.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Dave, because, and I hope I'll speak for other people, that if you were a developer and you were going to buy a lump of land for X amount of money, you'd expect a result, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just take a chance on the planning giving.
No, of course not.
Permission. You know, and I know that's a bit of an accusation, but it does, unfortunately, at the moment, look like it is predetermined.
Barry, the email that I've had from Stuart Hutchins does confirm, it does state that the recommendation was that the officers should discuss with preferred bidder of a revision of their proposal to reduce the overall number of houses that they propose and to include a couple of other elements that the members' board wishes to see. So all I'm saying is that recommendation hasn't been agreed by the councillors. So it is back to negotiation, and that's why I said earlier, the earlier we get a letter in to the Isle of Wight Council councillors, highlighting our concerns of the number of units, the continuing lobby will only do good, not harm, because there hasn't been a decision yet. And, you know, that's what I've seen, and I've continued to communicate as well. So it's a case of continuing, you know, with them to make them aware of what the parish requires for our infrastructure.
Thank you, Mike. Reg, you look, Philip, I'll come to you after the ward councillor.
There's two points there. First of all, I was going to comment on Dave's point. You'd be wasting your time going for a judicial review. The only way you would win a judicial review is if a decision has been taken and lawfully. The decision was taken by the board, which was appointed by the council with the right to make this decision. They've made it. There's nothing unlawful about the way this decision's been made. It was made on the recommendation of Vale Williams, the consultants who they appointed. If they, the only judicial review could arrive at if they made the incorrect decision at the planning stage when it comes before a planner, which has got to happen. Who knows? The planning committee might turn it down. They might say, we don't want that capital receipt, we'll turn it down. I don't know. Do you trust that? Do you trust this, what Michael says, that the decision hasn't been made? If you read the briefing paper, it quite clearly says in the briefing paper that the board unanimously agreed.
Rick, you're muffled. You're muffled. I think the paper's in the way of the microphone.
The board unanimously agreed to appoint Southern Housing Group as preferred bidder in line with the recommendation from Vale Williams. The Southern's bid was not only the highest overall as cash and on a plot by plot basis, which also 100% affordable housing scheme with a mix of tenants. Southern Housing Group is a registered social landlord with a track record of delivery on the island. That don't sound to me like the decision was they'd go away and talk about it. They'll talk about it up until May. May the 4th, they'll stop talking. You've got to make the decision whether or not to declare this an asset of community value before then, and then let them come up and say, oh, well, we weren't going to do that. This is what we were going to do. Then you can withdraw the asset of community value. It's in your court. But I think you should. Now, I'm not going to, that's my view. I don't want to try and persuade you too much, but I think if you stop and think about this, it's a bird in the hand. If you say you've got 6 months, if that in that 6 months, the Isle of Wight Council decides, that's all right, that's fair enough, we do what the parish council and the people want. You've stopped them. If not, we'll just talk about this until May, and you'll end up with Southern Houses plot. It might not be 90 houses. It might only be 80 or 70. It's up to yourself.
Thank you very much. Philip, you wanted to say something? Or Trish, then?
Well, not both of us. But yeah, can I just make a comment? Just shortly before the meeting, David Barry actually sent me a link to the On the White. And it's a press release that the Isle of Wight Council have actually issued talking about this very issue and saying that they've actually built 100, they provided 100 affordable homes over the last year, and that they have plans to build another 300 in the next few years. And they say sites have been identified to maximise provision, including Eddington Road in Neckleston and Taylor Road in Carisbrook. They're talking about it as what a wonderful thing it is because of their housing strategy. The thing that, I mean, I read it, my heart sank when I read it actually, but the thing that really annoyed me was the very last paragraph, which is a quote from Barry Abrahams, where he says, due to COVID-19, a positive housing campaign to, quote, break down resistance, close quote, to new housing developments on the island has had to be put on hold. And I find that very patronising for them to actually assume that we are only complaining about all that they're trying to actually offload onto us and have a positive campaign to try and shut us up. And
yeah.
I hope the council will take that one up.
Yeah, it's very good. Right, okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Sorry.
Oh, Philip, sorry, I thought you were... Sorry.
Barry, and sorry to Mike Ward, but I think we're way beyond asking questions, other than to question the intent and veracity of the Isle of Wight Council. They have not... I mean... their statement that 537 odd houses were needed, affordable houses in Nettleston. We've queried this, we've asked through Freedom of Information, and they've been completely unable to come up with any answers. In fact, they're embarrassing. I think the officers have been found out, and that last statement that Trish has just made, it is an insult to every single one of us and every single parish councillor. Yeah. I think that Reg's idea is brilliant in terms of going for an asset of community value. Whatever we can do to delay this or gain control of the situation, we should be doing. Because as things stand, we haven't got any of the aces. I'm sorry, we've lost it if we pursue what Mike wants. Look, I think what Mike wants is great.
You can do it.
But, yeah, you try it, but we're not going to get it by asking questions. Because we've asked questions and they have not given us answers. In fact, if we took it to court, as things stand, I think we probably would win on predetermination, Reg.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for that, Philip. Right, the proposal is, do we vote to make this an asset of community value? That which is on the agenda. Anybody like to propose that we...
I'll propose it.
Thank you, Dave. And a seconder, please. Someone. All right, I'll second it. Roy, you're muted, I think, mate.
He is, yeah.
Okay. Right, can we have a vote then, please? All in favour?
Do we know what Roy's doing? 1, 2, 3, 4. Do we know what Roy's doing? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I think that's 5 in favour. Oh, 6. Sorry. Yeah. I'm really struggling. There's a lot of people on the screen tonight. Sorry, everyone.
moving
all over the place, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 6 in favour, is it?
Right, OK. Anybody against? Or abstain? Sally? I haven't seen which way you went at all.
Oh, thank you. That was unanimous. There we go. Sorry. I didn't even really... it's a lot of people on the screen. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, everyone. Okay, so thank you for that. So that's passed unanimously. Right, the next item was to...
Actually, can I just say, Barry, before we go on to it... it's great, and we will do it, obviously, as you guys want it. But if anyone thinks they've got any hints or tips on wording for it, it would be welcome. So any organisations or anyone listening to the meeting, if they'd like to add any kind of expertise and some wording, I'm all ears before we send it off, because I've not done one before.
It's on a postcard then, Brian. Yeah.
And the example I've got is for a pub, and the wording would obviously be quite different. So, but yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the important part still, I feel, is, I mean, I'm happy with what the decision is made, because it's the parish, it's the infrastructure. You know, decisions that we are making are, like I always say to people, is we're custodians for the next generation, so we want the right numbers. But at the same time, I still feel that in advance we need to make sure that, I mean, we've got the meeting coming up, thankfully, with the leader, which, you know, we're lucky to have them come twice. But the parish just needs to continue lobbying with the council so they keep realising constantly that they know what the parish want for their restructure, for their infrastructure, against what the Isle of Wight Council want, this number of houses on the island, where we need to be telling them that's fine, but not all of them in our area, in our parish. Yeah. We want what's right for our parish.
Yeah, well, I'm just fed up with this target-centred way of building houses rather than a needs way of building houses, you know, the actual demonstrated needs. OK, thanks, everyone. OK, so to confirm the initial questions for councillors Stuart Abraham and Isle of Wight officers on the 3rd of March. Now, we have got quite a number, I think. Brian, did you say 20?
Yeah, so we have actually, we've had a very good response, especially since Councillor Barry shared the potential decision, whatever you want to call it. I'm careful with my words, the decision of the Isle of Wight Council last week. So we actually now have a very good list. What I've done is, just to let people know who are at the meeting, is I've created a spreadsheet. I've been putting all those in. And what I've done is the councillors don't know who's asked these questions. I've created a list where you can see that either a councillor has come up with a question or a member of the public. And what I'm thinking might be a good idea is if I put that on our website and people can see those, so anyone else thinking about sending extra questions, they can see where they've come from. And then at the meeting, because we've had a good response, I don't want to second guess things, you might not get through all the questions, because there's quite a lot now, and probably we'll get more as the week goes on as well. If we keep them anonymous to you, councillors, when it comes tonight and you're going to be asking questions and you're picking them off the list, you'll probably just have to do your best to take them as they come. And I'll leave it up to you. I'm not going to tell you what question to ask or what not to, but I've made them anonymous, and I think I might publish those, if you councillors don't mind, so that members of the public can see what's going to get asked, and see if they think they've got another question they might like to see answered. What do people think about that?
Well, I think that's a very good idea, Brian. Mm-hmm. Certainly publish it, because I'm sure, as Catherine said earlier, that some, I can see both of you, questions will obviously overlap, and that's inevitable because we're all...
Yeah, but actually, do you know what? It's quite amazing. Look at this. There's not really a lot of that yet, which is pretty impressive, actually. So, there is a little bit of overlap there.
Let's have some of that.
We've got some clever people in the parish.
A nice hold with your thumb.
I mean, the good thing about it is by getting them in... Sorry,
Mike, I just... Rebecca, you're muted, and you had your thumb up.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think it might be quite difficult to decide on the questions tonight, because we can't all see the list.
Oh, no, I don't mean now. I meant in, like, I'm going to put them...
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was going to suggest that maybe we had a, you know, maybe Brian, Dave and Barry had a... looked at it together to make sure we didn't have too much overlapping, and get things in an order that made sense, because otherwise we just have a lot of... it just seems to me that we should perhaps... And then you could publish it, Brian, once you've had a look at it, maybe. I mean, I would be happy for somebody else to make that decision, if that's a reasonable thing to do.
Thank you.
I'll do whatever the members would like.
Thank you, Becky. Mike, I'll come to you. Diane, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say something similar to Becky. I was just going to say, is it a good idea to have everybody asking questions? Is it not better if Barry, you ask the questions? Rather than us all jumping in and, you know, overlapping. If obviously make it obvious that they're not all your questions, which they'll know, but it would have been not better if the chairman asked the questions.
Or
you and Dave as chairman of planning, with Dave as well. Yeah, both of you, if you split them. It's just an idea.
I'm happy to ask questions behalf of the residents, but I also think we should have a slot of the meeting where we give the residents, if he's there for an hour, I believe we should give the residents 20 minutes or so to chip in with their own personal views, because things might come up on the night.
I thought we decided last week that we weren't going to do that we'd only let the, you know, have sort of those sort of questions at the very end if we had time. That was the whole point about getting people to put their questions in writing, I thought.
Well, people have been asking questions since then, Becky, and I just think, in respect to the residents, I think we've just got to be transparent and give them a chance.
Well, yes, they've had a chance to put them in writing, because Barry, you said you didn't want a free-for-all at the end.
Well, I don't think it's going to be like that, because I think we're a bit more reserved now and a bit more knowledgeable. But it's to nobody's advantage for the meeting to descend into chaos.
Exactly. But if anybody has a question, of course they can.
Oh, Anna wants a word. Barry, sorry.
Sorry, Diane.
That's all right. No, don't worry. I was just going to say, you know, that we've got a lot of questions that the public who are, I think looking at the list, there's more questions that the public have asked than the councillors. As long as we get through those public questions,
absolutely,
and they're all put, I think it's important that if people have bothered to send them in, that they're put to the three people that are coming to the meeting. And then I think it's a good idea if there's any time left at the end to obviously bring in the public that are there. I think a lot of the people that have asked those questions will be there anyway. I think that a lot of people have said that they're going to Zoom in anyway for that meeting. So I think that imagine if you've Zoomed in and you've asked a question and we don't ask it, I think somebody would get a little bit, I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I think I don't disagree with the public at all, but I just want to think we should make sure that all the questions that have been put are asked.
I totally agree with you. Mike, you were going to say something? I'll come to you after.
I mean, I thought part of it was for the pre-questions so that they had quite a lot of them up advance so that we then were able to get the answers back. Yeah, because that's what we, that's the important part, is that, you know, in some part we will get some answers back as well as the ones on the night.
I'll try, what I'll do is, I'll suggest to you guys, if there are some really technical ones, like someone says, I can't remember what the questions are, there's a lot of questions, like what percentage is blah, 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 and it's the sort of thing that I'd think would be pretty amazing if they were carrying that around in their head. That's the sort of thing you could, so they come along with a decent answer, or you'll probably just get palmed off, wouldn't you, with, oh, great question, I'll take it away and come back another time. I don't know.
You pick the object, don't it? And Reg, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you're going to publish it, you should let the leader know, Dave Stewart, know that you intend publishing it. You've got to be careful of them not thinking it's an ambush.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think you should do it, you know, keep him in the loop so that everybody knows what's going on. And like Mike says, you can expect him to know answers to technical questions. That's not fair. But he can get the answers. If he don't know it, he can get it within minutes. But give him the chance so that when he comes, he can give the proper answers to the proper questions. And that's fair then, isn't it?
I think so. On this point, any other councillor got anything else to say? No? Okay. Any parishioner would like to say something? Okay. Well, that's about it then, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it?
I think you've gone through the agenda, Barry.
I think we have, and I'd like to thank everybody for coming along. And Brian, didn't we have some St Helens people around?
Yes, I'm not sure. I can't tell you because there's
somebody called Kevin waving his hand. I'm waving back, but you're muted. Would you like to say something?
Well, yeah, no. Just clearly, whatever we can do, and I've picked up on the issues of coalescence and. And the question for me is on those technical issues,
Kevin,
which are more.
Would you like to say who you are?
Oh, sorry. So I'm a parish councillor in St Helens.
Thank you. Okay.
And I get involved in looking at the planning applications.
Right.
And we're clearly as frustrated as with you on two key topics: the complete lack of consultation on planning decisions, where the parishes are completely ignored, and then we're doing a last-minute gasp try to. At least get key issues raised. And the other issue that I've been really pushing but getting absolutely nowhere is North East White.
Right.
Can we please have a housing strategy for North East White rather than having all of these constant developments?
Yep.
Because in the end we're going to end up like Bournemouth, Boscombe and Poole. We're just going to end up one urban area. Yep. from Ryde, Seaview, Nettlestone, St Helens. Not in our lifetimes, but if we can't help to protect the environment, that's what it's going to end up with in time. So anything we can do to try to get this council to sort of have a strategy to what they're trying to do, rather than the complete ad hoc nature of some very, very large developments in our area,
yeah.
Without due regard to consultation with us as local people.
Indeed. Thank you, Kevin. That's very interesting.
Right. So just to say, if there's anything we can do, to help,
yep.
Recognising that clearly you're making a certain specific application at the moment, and it's not a planning issue. So
right.
It's I'm trying to get my head round when would we counter raise the issues like coalescence as to, you know, damaging the boundaries between our parishes and things like that. So maybe our clerks can have a discussion about how can we help and when can we help.
Kevin. Could I just come in? I'm Dave Adams. I'm the chair of planning in Nelson and Seaview. Would you mind giving our clerk your contact details after the meeting? Would you mind if I contacted you tomorrow?
Not at all. That's fine.
Lovely.
Absolutely.
Thanks for that. Good. I've got Diane. I can see you there, but can I just take Reg? She's just going to say something, then I'll come to you. Thank you, Reg.
Just quickly, I've just heard a good argument for a joint neighbourhood plan.
Oh.
I've always thought that St Helens and Nettleston and Seaview, instead of going at singly, you could save a lot of money and a lot of time by doing it jointly with St Helens, because their interests and your interests are very, very similar.
That's absolutely true, Reg, and I think it has been discussed, but I think there's only one grant and it costs us more money in the end. Is that right, Dave? You're muted.
No, that's not true. It's actually to everyone's advantage if we act together, but we act singularly, but in association with each other, because St Helens will get a grant as well as us, so we maximise the grant funding available. Is that right, Trish?
So it'd be separate neighbourhood plans, but you'd work closely together. Is that what you're saying, Councillor Adams? Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
That way you both get grants and you do actually have separate neighbourhood plans. That's what I think you just said, yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. Good idea. Diana Conyers.
Hello, just for people who don't know me, I'm Diana Conyers. I'm Chair of Planning in Ryde Town Council. I'm not here in official capacity. I was just really curious to learn more about this situation. But as I think many of you know, what we've been pushing for in Ryde is some sort of area plan like that, particularly as far as we are concerned for the northeastern part of Ryde. But it's become very obvious recently with the Harcourt Sands and the Putpool Hill developments that, you know, Ryde and Seaview have got to work together as well. And in terms of what you were saying, in terms of regeneration areas in the Isle of Wight Council's regeneration plan, we are all part of Northeast Ryde regeneration area, and housing targets are set for the whole area, as I can work out. But when we raised this issue with Ollie Bolter at the recent planning session that they did through iWalk, the answer was, well, because we've got no plan at the moment, you know, we don't have a viable core strategy or anything, we can't really prioritise areas, we just have to go for everything we can. But I support in principle the idea, certainly that idea. Thank you.
Okay, everyone. Anybody else got to say anything on this before we wind up? No? Okay. It's about 1844 even, and I declare the meeting closed. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Di, did you just want to say something?
Me? No, I was just saying bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.